Hi there, this is Jacob Msiba, the Senior Pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you.
We are going to be talking or focusing on the subject. It's not a theme per se, because we are not going to be doing it as usual for the whole month. You know, December is kind of tricky, has got many things, so really attaching a theme, but I felt that today and next week we are going to talk about what I'm going to talk about here this morning under the subject or whatever, the builder's edge, and we are going to have two subtopics under it, and today we are going to focus on the edge of the sword. The edge of the sword. I don't know why did I title it like this. It sounds very deep and complicated, but I promise you it's not. It's a very simple message, and it's going to, I promise that it's going to be a blessing. Amen. I want you to, if you are sitting next to a kind, nice neighbor, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say to your neighbor these nice words. It is, neighbor, we are standing at the edge of 2019, do not lose your edge, and do not let it go dull, because you will need it for 2020. Let's try it one more time. If your neighbor was not cooperating, maybe your neighbor is still sleeping, find another one and say, neighbor, we are standing on the edge of 2019. Therefore, do not lose your edge and do not let it go dull. You will need it for 2020. Shout the builder's edge. Say I'm getting my edge back. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. If the axe is dull, the King James says, if the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. The Bible tells us in the book of Samuel that by strength, by his own strength, shall no man prevail. So if your axe is dull, the Bible says you must use more strength. But if you use your own strength, the Bible also tells us in the book of Samuel that you will not prevail. Because it is not by power nor by might, but it is by his spirit. That is what the book of Zechariah says. Are we here? But then it says, but wisdom brings success. So wisdom dictates that you must always keep your edge sharpened so that you are not going to be required to labor with your own strength. Let's read another one. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 13. Exodus 17 and verse number 13. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Joshua defeated Amalek. These were the perpetual enemies of God's children, the Amalekites. Sometimes on their own accord, and sometimes they were used by God as the rod of correction. He would allow them to attack abantwana bakhe when they were no longer serving God the way that they are supposed to serve God. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. I pray that you may bless us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The first question that we must answer this morning is, of course, what is this edge that we are talking about. The edge can be defined as, and we are going to look at this definition today, we are going to focus on the literal explanation or definition of the edge, and next week we are going to focus more on its figurative meaning. The edge is the sharpened side of the blade of a cutting implement or a weapon. So in a sense of a cutting implement, the knife in this case, the part esigayo emeseni is the edge. Ne? And in as far as the weapon is concerned, the edge is that part that you use to inflict wounds on that person. Ipende. The tip, yes. Ipende. Yabona emkontweni, that part that is sharp. That is able to inflict wounds. Are we here? So, that is what the edge is all about. Let me start off by saying, every builder, if you are going to build something, whether your life, whether your family, your marriage included, if you are going to build a career, maybe secular career, lao sebenza khona, if you are going to build a business, if you are going to build a church, for an example, you are going to need a very sharp edge of whatever tool that you are using, because a sharp edge was, or a sharp axe was in the olden days also used. I know namhlanje sisebenzisela ukapha inkuni in most cases, right? But it was also used to cut into shape the stones that were used to build. So you are going to need a very sharp axe or tool to use to build whatever it is that you want to build. But not only that, because this is the second part that I want us to focus on. You are also going to need a sharp edge in terms of a sword. You are going to need a very sharp weapon. Because every builder will be faced with challenges, battles, persecutions. The Bible tells us that even the builders in the book of Nehemiah, in the book of Ezra, as soon as they began to build, persecution arose. There were people who were working against them so that they can discourage them, so that they can stop them. Are we here, Bazalwan? In such a way that the Bible tells us that they had to be, there's this word I was practicing in the car. Ukukhona umuntu ekuthiwa angazi ngesiZulu bathi yini noma ngesiNdebele. Umuntu okwazi ukusebenzisa izandla zoyithu. Ikhabe. NgesiZulu. Ikhabe mina ngazi kuyi watermelon. But ngesiNgisi bathi you are ambidextrous. Am I right? NgesiZulu bathi untsembu. So because of persecution, those people had to learn how to use both their hands. The Bible says with one hand they had to build. And with the other hand they had to hold a weapon or a sword so that they can fight off their enemies while building. And this says to us, every builder, that's why we are talking about the builder's edge. We will be faced with persecution. So if you are only going to focus on building or only master building and not know how to fight off your enemy and not know how to persevere during the battles, you will be unable to even finish what you are building, because the enemy, the devil, will not just look at you and leave you alone to build whatever it is that you want to build. He is going to make sure that he brings trouble your way so that you find it hard to finish what you have started. So you need to build with one hand and you need to fight with the other. And many of us, I'm sure you will agree, as we are seated here today, we've gone through some stuff in this year. It has not been an easy year. At least me, now I can say that in my life. Maybe when you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, you were blessed before the foundations of the earth. You are that type of a person that when you are trying to have just a normal conversation, then you want to turn it into a sermon. But there are a few things that I can mention. Sometime last year, around this time, you know, we were preparing the Benoni campus to start a new campus there, and we blinked, and then the year was over because of so many things that happened in this year. I don't know about you, Barcelona, but we've had our fair share of ups and downs in our personal lives, in the church, maybe in your business, maybe at work, but we've had our fair share of ups and downs. Are we here, Barcelona? In December, you know, around this time, I think it was 2 days before Christmas, we were involved in a car accident with my family. It was a near-death experience. All four of us were in that car, and unfortunately, two people lost their lives in that car accident. At the beginning of this year, I was hijacked, kidnapped. somewhere where I don't know. Thank God for my life. I was protected, and we lost our bishop somewhere down the line. It was not an easy year, because while we are trying to build, the enemy tries to bring some distractions your way just so that you can lose focus. You can shift the focus from what you are trying to achieve. And I'm sure as you are seated here, it's just that you are not the one who is holding the mic. But if I can give you this mic, you can tell some few stories of what you have gone through. And of course, we are not, you know, ignorant of the fact that there are many other things, many other good things that God has done for us. There are many other testimonies that we have had. As a matter of fact, if it were not for those testimonies, maybe many of us, but God, by his grace and in his wisdom, he knows how to balance the bitter experiences with the sweet ones, just so that we can remember ukutusa stand. And as you go through these battles in the year or in different seasons, Bazolane, you are forced to take up arms. You are forced to take up your sword, the sword of the Spirit, to use it to engage the enemy, to use it to engage yourself, you know, sometimes to a point where your only weapon that you have will become dull. And even to others, they end up you losing even the very weapon, the only weapon they have that they can use against the enemy. Are we together? So you are lucky when you are still in your hands having that weapon. But some of the people, they have even lost their weapons. They have even lost hope. They have lost courage. They have given up in life. They have nothing that they can use to fight or to chase away the enemy in their lives. Are we together, Barcelona? But as we are standing, you know, as I said at the beginning of this message, standing on the edge of 2019, I want to declare prophetically over your life that in the same way that Jesus said about Lazarus when he was sick and he got the report that the one that you love is sick, and Jesus responded by saying, "This sickness is not unto death." I am declaring upon your life that your challenges, your battles are not unto your destruction. They did not come to destroy you. They did not come to finish you off. They did not come so that you can be destroyed, but they came to prepare you for what is to come. They came to prepare you for the greater things that God is going to do in your life. They came so that you can become strong and so that you can do great and mighty exploits in your life. Baby, don't give up yet. Don't sit down yet. There are greater things that are coming and appointed for you. 2020 is filled with great things in your life. Don't lose your edge. Don't lose your weapon. Don't lose your axe. Don't lose it. Don't put it down. Just take it up. I'm begging you. In these few weeks, just pick it up. Just sharpen your weapon. Just sharpen your axe, because you are going to need the edge. There are greater things. If you think that God has done great things for us in this year, you better think again, because God is coming back again to show us that he is the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above we can ever ask or think. Shout, I am getting back my axe. Shout, I am sharpening the edge of my sword. So God has given us this force for resistance, which is the word of God. The Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God has given us, the Bible tells us, the full armor of God. I like it, because it does not necessarily say he gives us the full armor so that we can fight. It says he gives us the full armor, 5 pieces to protect ourselves, and he gives us 1 piece that we can use to fight and to do, you know, what we cannot do for ourselves. And he says so that we can be able to withstand in the day of evil. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes you just need the strength to resist whatever evil that the enemy is bringing your way. Sometimes you don't need to fight for yourself, but all that you need is the strength to withstand or to resist whatever it is that the enemy is trying to do in your life and to bring in your life. You just have to resist it. There are people who are defeated today because they could not resist the adversaries. They could not resist the temptations. They could not resist that the enemy was throwing their way. And the Bible says, after having done all, to stand, to be available, to be present, that after all of those battles settled down, you need to be available for God to reward you. I normally say, if the devil takes me through hell, I am not only going to be happy about the fact that the battle is over, but I want my spoils, I want my reward, because there is no man who goes to battle and not receive the spoils. But take note that whenever the word of God, which we say it is a sword of the Spirit, which we say it is the weapon that God gives to us so that we can go through tough seasons in our lives, it is the very same word that instigates persecutions in our lives. It is the very same word that instigates challenges in our lives. It is the very same word that instigates tribulations in our lives. That is what the word of God will do in your life. In Matthew 13 and verse 21, where Jesus was talking about the parable of the seed, he says in verse 21, he says, "Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word." Take note, he does not say because of the devil. He says persecution and tribulation that arises because of the word. So sometimes you can face challenges in your life. You can face persecutions in your life, not because the devil is fighting you, not because the devil is against you, But because of the word that you have received, because of the word that you have heard, many of us, we did not want to try anything in life until the word of God challenged us to rise up and to believe God for greater things. You were fine with your small house. You were fine with your small job in your place until somebody, some crazy preacher from somewhere came and told you that this is the year of exploits. And all of a sudden you started thinking about great exploits. You wanted a bigger house. You believed God for promotion. But all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose to challenge what you think you have had. So the word of God will come to stir up trouble for you, to instigate the war within you. And that war will either be against you or for you. Because that is what the word of God does in your life. You use it sometimes to fight against the enemy. But sometimes the word comes to fight you. Because sometimes you are your own worst enemy. So there are some things that when God says in your life, you are the enemy. God wants to address you. God wants to challenge you. God wants to shape you. God wants to convict you. Jesus says in Matthew 10 verse 34, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." This is Jesus speaking. "I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." How many of you know that sometimes obeying the Lord means becoming an enemy of your friends? You can go through persecution because you have decided to obey God. You decided to follow Jesus. Sonke lesikhathi bebanganandaba mawuphuza. Bebanganandaba mawudakwa. Sadlama grapes, sadakwa. Bebanganandaba mawungena ngapha uphuma ngapha. Namhlanje kupaka igusheshe. Kusasa kupaka ivurupha. Kusasa kupaka imatchbox. Angazi noma isesekhona, isesezistyleni imatchbox. Kusasa kupaka ikharakara. Abana nkinga nawo. But the minute you hear the word of God, the minute you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the minute you decide to step out in faith and follow what you believe God is saying in your life, all hell breaks loose. So Jesus says sometimes when he speaks, it is like he brings a sword that is going to divide families, divide friends, divide cities, divide nations. Because sometimes to believe God means to go against the will of man in your life. So when the word of God comes, it comes to address carnality in our lives. It comes to address stagnancy in our lives. It is because of the word of God that we will experience internal wars, internal tribulations, and persecutions. Where God becomes our enemy. Where God becomes the person who is against everything that we think we must do in our lives. Because whenever we are carnal and we are listening to our own flesh, we become an enemy to God. Romans 8 verse 7, the Bible says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be." Sometimes your flesh wants to do the things that are against the will of God for your life. It wants to be in certain places, but the word of God through his spirit comes to convict you, and you experience that war within. I always say this, that when the battle or the fight is within, the enemy is God. But when it comes from outside, the enemy is the devil. And sometimes we have these internal conflicts, internal wars, like Jesus, who said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Because God wants this for your life, but your flesh wants that for your life. We experience those battles. It is the Spirit-filled word of God that comes to address that kind of carnality in our lives. It comes to even address stagnancy in our lives. Where there was supposed to be movement, where there was supposed to be growth, where there was supposed to be activity, and there was nothing. And all of a sudden, the word of God initiates or instigates persecution just so that you can move, just so that you can do something, just so that you can grow, just so that you can mature. God will allow you to go through that pain. Let's read these two scriptures that are very interesting, and let's see what do we mean by this. Look at this very interesting encounter that we find in the scriptures. Acts chapter number 1 verse 8. Can we read it all together from the screen if you can see? 1, 2, 3, go. You shall be witnesses to me where? Where? One more time. You shall be witnesses where? Okay, let's look at what happens in Acts chapter number 8 and verse 1. Let's read all together. That time what? What? Great what? Not just ordinary persecution. The Bible says great persecution arose against what? The church of Jesus Christ. This persecution arises against what? Anointed, the anointed church, powerful church, moving in signs and wonders. All of a sudden, they're minding their own business. There's persecution. And then what happens? Which was where? The persecution was where? And then? What happened? The persecution arose against the church, which was where? And then what happened? So here's God in Acts chapter number 1. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Not so that you can roll on the floor and be happy about the power that I have given you. But I'm giving you the power so that you can be my witnesses, right? There must be movement, right? There must be activity, right? You must grow, you must increase, you must multiply. And then he says, where? First, he says, in Jerusalem, where you are. And then secondly, he says, in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts chapter number 2, the Holy Spirit comes. It fills each and every one of them. They receive the power, as Jesus says. They begin to prophesy. They begin to heal the sick. They begin to raise the dead. Acts chapter number 3. A lame man sitting by the door of the temple at the hour of prayer. Asking for alms. What does the Bible say? It says the apostles came out and they said, silver and gold I do not have. Hey, how powerful. Such as I have, give I unto you. Arise and walk. They love witnessing in Jerusalem. Chapter number 4, Kumnandi, and the church increases and it multiplies and they are giving. No one we are swela. Bagupi, Jerusalem. Acts chapter number 5, baze baba comfortable. Nangu Ananias no Sapphira, baze bakamba manga ngomnikelo, and they die. The power Peter uses, he says, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? They drop down and they die. Hey, Acts chapter number 6 kuze kuyakomplain ukuthiwa ansanakekeli aba fellowgazi, you are focusing on other and many other things. They appoint leaders, Acts chapter number 6, so that they can take care of their business. They come back, they focus on prayer, they focus on the ministry of the word. Kumnandi bakhohliwe. And God says, let me give them one more chance. In Acts chapter number 7, nangu Stephen, we are vangela, we are hamba, ushayise monende. Bamkhanda ngamatshe, uyafa. Uthi uNkulunkulu abantu bezwa. I talk to them nicely. Abangilaleli. Acts chapter number 8. Saul! Naboke bakumnande Jerusalem. Verse 1, and persecution because of the word that was given in Acts chapter number 1. Saul persecutes them out of their comfort zone of Jerusalem. This thing was supposed to start in Jerusalem. This thing was supposed to start as an usher. This thing was supposed to start as a job. This thing was just supposed to start as a relationship. Kwaba mnandi Jerusalem. You parked in Jerusalem. You relaxed in Jerusalem. Kunini uthi uyashada? Usejeru kumnandi Jerusalem. Kunini uthi uyaqala ibusiness kumnandi Jerusalem. Kunini uthi uyesikolweni kumnandi Jerusalem. Umnandi Jerusalem. When you said to us when you were looking for a job, you want to raise money so that you can go to school. Kwaba mnandi Jerusalem. Even God said he's going to empower you to start in Jerusalem. Kwaba mnandi Jerusalem. Lithi, at the time of a great person. You see, some it's not always that the devil is your enemy. Great persecution against rose against the same church that God loves, which was at Jerusalem, but was supposed to be in Judea. Angazi noma nifuna uNkulunkulu as persecute out of Delmas to Ilofna. Nithi niyafika nithole le building wile. Ngoba kumnandi Jerusalem. Nithi iBhayibheli, and they were all scattered. Maye ngiyaxakeka ukuthi out of zonke indawo. Baba legela glis. Labi kufanele babe baye khona. Hayi mara uNkulunkulu ngiyamsaba yazi. Ask your neighbor kunjani eJerusalem. I ring business mongwaneng. Si ring school mongwaneng. Eh? Gap year became gap years. So sometimes God has got to persecute us out of our comfort zone. Some of us, we were not going to move if the persecution did not come. Some of us, we were not going to make certain decisions if persecution did not come. Some of us were not going to think at certain levels if you did not lose that job. Some of us, we were not going to make certain moves in our lives if God did not dry up that thing that made you to be comfortable. Sometimes we need to thank God for our persecutions.
and appreciate the fact that God persecuted us for us to be where we are today. You are in a better place today. Let me say this to you. You are in a better place today because of your persecutions this year. Some of us, it might not look like it, but let me tell you, you are in a better space because you were challenged to think at a certain level. You needed to go through what you went through. So that you are going to be sober about the fact that the people you thought were your friends were not your friends. It was good. It was good. It was good. It was good. We were driven out of our Jerusalem. We were driven to the right place that we were supposed to. Can you imagine? Something that was supposed to be done, at least as finding the benefit of the doubt, is it at least by chapter 3. Hi, chapter 7. Are we here? Let's close. It might not look like it, but you are in a better place. It will soon make sense. It will soon come together. You are going to look around you and say, yeah. Yeah, I had to. So some of you, if but God said, let me just open your eyes. You are supposed to be there. Because that is where you are going to live. And God had to allow his word to do his work in your life. Just so that your eyes can be open. Sometimes you just need to stand up and say, God, I thank you for my persecutions. I thank you that I had to go through the tough season that I went through. My friends had to leave me so that I can see who is for me and who is against me. Say, I thank God for my battles. And let me tell you something. These are good battles. This is a good fight that you are involved in. Because it is the fight of faith. That is what the Bible calls it. It is the fight of faith. It's not a fight that is here to kill you or destroy you. It is the fight, a wrestling of believing what God is saying in your life and what the world is saying in your life. Because the devil on this side says you will amount to nothing. Your family has been telling you, but deep down on the inside of you, the word of the Lord has been rising up. So coming to church, praying, giving, fasting, and all of those things has been nourishing the word of the Lord on the inside of you, just so that you can become a better person, just so that you can become stronger, just so that you can pray more, just so that you can learn how to believe God more. Some of us, we were so comfortable that we were no longer even thinking about praying. We were no longer reading the word of God. We were no longer desperate for the presence of God. But until persecutions came, we started praying, we started reading the word, we started asking for advice, we started coming to people that we never thought they can help us. I thank God for everything that I went through this year. My eyes are opened. I am a better man today. I am a better husband today. I am a better father today. For everything that I have gone through. For every mountain, Lord, I thank you. For every valley, Lord, I thank you. For every prayer, Lord, I thank you. For every pain, oh God, I thank you. For every sorrow, oh God, I thank you. For every tear, oh God, I thank you. For everything, oh God, all the times where I thought that the world is going to be against me and I am about to die, oh God, I thank you because I started praying prayers that I never used to pray. I started giving, oh God, out of desperation, because I needed you. I needed to see you, Lord. I appreciate you, Father, that you had to bring back my edge. You had to sharpen my sword. You had to give me the energy. You had to give me the anointing. You had to give me the grace so that I can learn how to fight, so that I can believe in your word once again, so that I can know that, oh God, there is no weapon formed against me that shall be able to prosper. Let me tell you, some of us, we were not going to know the meaning of that word if it was not
if it were not for the persecution that we faced in our lives. That's why I say sometimes we just need to appreciate, because the word of God came and persecuted us. But as I close, I am declaring that this battle is not unto your destruction. This war is not unto your destruction. This sorrow, this pain, the tears that you have been crying, baby, you are going to come out strong out of it. You are going to come out even wiser out of it. You are going to become a better person. You will see yourself in 2020. Uzabucabanga at another level. You will be confronted. The devil will be thinking he's dealing with the same person that he used to deal with in 2019. But you are going to be a different person. This time you are going to say, devil, not now. Not this time. You might have messed me up last year, but today, I am much more sober. I am much more wiser, much more matured. You can never bring me down. Now I know how to wave my sword. Now I know how to use this weapon, which is the word of God. Now I know that there is no weapon formed against me that shall be able to prosper. Now I know that I am the head and not the tail. Now I know that I am above and not beneath. Now I know that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know I am not going to die. It's just a shadow. I am not going to be destroyed. It's just a shadow. I am not going to be poor. It's just a shadow. I am going to come out of it stronger. I am better. I am stronger. I am wiser. I'm going to make better decisions next year. I am going to make much more wiser decisions. I am going to be better at what I do. I know. Now I know better. Now I know better. Now I know better. My sword is sharpened. My edge is coming back. My edge is coming back to me. I'm going to build better. I'm going to build better. I'm going to build my life better. I'm going to build my family better. I'm going to build my career better. I'm going to build my business better. I'm going to build the church better. I'm a better person. I am more sharper. I am more wiser. I am more intelligent. I'm more smart. I'm getting my edge back. High five your neighbor and say, I'm getting my edge back. I'm sharpening my sword. I'm sharpening my sword. I'm more dangerous. I'm more fierce. I'm a better fighter. I'm a better fighter this time. I am a better fighter this time. I'm going to defeat my flesh. I'm going to defeat stagnancy in my life. I'm going to defeat carnality in my life. I'm going to defeat adversity in my life. I'm going to defeat failure in my life. I am going to defeat all of the setbacks. I'm going to defeat all of these things that thought they could defeat me. I'm better. I'm getting my edge back. I'm sharpening my edge back. You better stand next to me if you are another iron. Because in 2020, I need an iron that can sharpen me as an iron. I don't want people who are going to make me more dull. I am tired of using my own strength. I need more wisdom to work in my life. You better come closer if you are another wise person, so that you can sharpen me, my brother. You better sharpen me, my sister. 2020, I am changing my scheme. I'm changing people I don't need people who are going to drain me. I don't need people who are going to make my axe to be dull, my sword to be dull. I need to know how to fight. I need to know how to face my battles. I need to know how to face the devil. I need to know how to face the challenges. Come 2020, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be more dangerous. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight.
Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much, and keep on building.